Record. Oh, wait. Whoops.
Oh, what's happening? Oh, you gotta.
I just forgot to arm the recording. Arm. Gotta with that guitar.
Arm. Touch your daddy takes your podcast away.
What'd you say?
I said arm till daddy takes your podcast away. I don't know what it means.
We used to, when I was in dance class, I took dance for like 13 years. They would always have us for one of the various classes, like whether it was ballet or tap or jazz or hip hop dancing class, which I don't know why we had a hip hop dancing class. This place was staffed entirely by Midwestern white people. But they would always have us dance to like one oldie. So a lot of those are burned in my brain. Like the fun is one of them.
Sure.
Or what's the one where it's like, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key.
That one really gets in there.
It will never leave my brain. Yeah, that one's like a fucking bear trap on my cerebellum. Just like
That song is in Jackass 2, I believe.
Oh, really? Is it at the beginning when they're all like roller skating around and then
Knoxville is trying to jump over barrels in roller skates or whatever?
Maybe not the beginning. I think is the beginning of Jackass 2 when like the bulls are chasing them through like the fake town.
Yeah.
Or like smashing through walls.
No, it's definitely not the opening scene, but it's like one of the bits in the beginning where they're just like singing that song and it gets stuck in my head for the rest of the week.
Oh, I think it's when he's on roller skates in a bull ring and a bull is like running after him.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Jump away.
Yeah, I know this is just like a random like Twitter thing that was popular a couple weeks ago, but have you seen Johnny Knoxville recently?
Yeah, he's all white.
He's white.
He looks like fucking Roger Sterling. He looks like he's like that that quote from the Venture Brothers where the monarch is like, Steven Tyler is starting to get to that point where he looks like someone's aunt. And I'm like, that's Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, I think during quarantine at some point, he posted an Instagram picture with his hair all white and was like, surprise, I was actually dyeing my hair for a while. It's been gray for a long time. So
surprise,
who knows when
I'm actually a holographic Pidgeotto card.
Yeah, he's been dyeing his hair since like Jackass the movie. So he's like always been gray. Mm-hmm. But he definitely looks a lot older now.
Yeah, I mean, it changes the whole thing. I mean, I don't know. I think the people whose hair is going silver or are balding or whatever should just like roll with it and like turn it into part of their thing. But that's easy for me to say because my family keeps their hair and hair color till we die. So
You're like, I will never have to deal with it.
Yeah. This isn't my problem. Yeah.
It definitely makes sense if you're like it seems like in his 30s, his hair just went like really silver. And if you like don't really look old, you can kind of get away with dyeing your hair. And if it was like part of his look and he was famous, like I think it makes sense.
Well, and if you're Johnny Knoxville, you want to appear as like an insane 25-year-old for as long as possible.
Yeah, 100%.
Like that's good for the brand. Because you don't want to see a guy like in a diaper stuffed with a whole roast turkey trying to crawl across a piece of chicken wire above a bunch of alligators and think like, wait a minute, that guy's my dad's age. Like nobody wants to have that.
What is he doing?
It's gonna be weird to watch Jackass 4 because they're all gonna be that old but doing insane shit.
Yeah, Jackass 4 is just gonna be like, check out this insane putt-putt mini golf shot.
just perfect stuff.
Yeah, we ran past a bunch of young kids and got a shopping cart first. Like their stunts are just going to be like buying too many groceries at the Aldi and like driving to church after the sun has gone down. Or like
we ordered not the early bird special. We got the regular dinner special at 6:30 p.m.
Yeah, we're wild and crazy guys.
We went to Red Lobster at 8 o'clock.
That would rule, honestly, if like when they got together and we're like, well, we're all going to make millions of dollars for a new Jackass. But no one says we actually have to like do crazy stuff. Stunts. What if we do like old person stunts that people will still think are funny?
Yeah.
Well, that would be genius. You just don't want to endanger yourself anymore. Like, think about the transformation of like Steve-O's personality from like the guy who could be counted on to just like sacrifice himself and his body to any stunt that the Jackass guys wanted to do. And now he's like a fucking motivational speaker and like rise and grind Instagram and Twitter guy. Like, it's just they're not the same crew that they were back when. Case, what's that band?
CKY
was popular. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. It's coming out in October, supposedly. So,
really?
Yeah.
I'll watch it. Yeah.
I think it's going to be about like death somehow. It's like embracing that you're dying. But anyway. Hello, everybody. Welcome to BB Bledis.
That's right.
This is the show about politics and weed, and I'm Bryn, and that last person who talked was John, and the person who has barely said anything is Chris.
I said everything. And hey, speaking of embracing death.
Wait, I want to talk about... Oh. I just want to say that the mayoral race in New York happened.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Chris live in New York. John doesn't live here.
We voted.
you know, the mayoral race happened, and now everybody, I just wanted to say, everyone is treating this like it's a horse race. Like, the New York Times put a disclaimer on its website saying, we won't know the results of this mayoral race possibly for weeks because we have instant runoff voting. We have ranked choice.
Right. Because the Organization of American States has concluded that there might have been foul play in the New York mayoral election.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot
Jimmy
of
Carter
slowdowns.
Is saying that we got a 40% score on the democracy index.
Yeah. So you know what that means.
We got to have real
Rudy Giuliani is president, is mayor again.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
But, you know, it's just weird because there's constantly, all last night and this morning, people are like, well, Eric Adams has a close lead, but Maya Wiley is actually, you know, could still come up from behind. It's like,
who?
Imagine an enormous jar of jelly beans with some of them red and some of them blue and someone just counting them. And then a reporter being like, who's going to win? Is it going to be yeah. red? Is it going to be blue? Looks like there's a lot of reds right now. What is
I mean,
what,
I didn't
just
even
tell
know
us when it's finished.
I didn't even know any of the names that you fucking like said to me. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because aren't there like a billion people who were in this mayoral race, like
at
everyone
eight,
was running
yeah.
for it, like it was like Democratic primary or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
they were what was Bernie Sanders running? Were they trying yeah. to crowd him out?
Andrew Yang was, which is very annoying.
Yeah. Well, they're all that's the thing. Like, Andrew Yang, like all the former mayors and governors and shit that you've had, they're all just like different versions of the Hamburglar. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just like, this is how I'm gonna steal Ronald's fucking, you know, McDonald or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I would say de Blasio is more of a grimace type, just like a really tall, sure. awkward guy who is always doing goofy shit. And it's kind of hard to hate him because it's like, well, he's just Grimace. But you definitely don't respect him.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
did you see that thing where they were like, apparently Grimace was originally conceived of as like another hamburger thief character, and he was originally supposed to have four arms? And I was like,
I didn't see that.
At that point, why not just like make him like Grimace Ganesha and give him like an elephant's trunk
yeah,
and like,
yeah.
you know, 15 fucking arms or whatever.
And like, he can like materialize hamburgers and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Just yeah. horrify children. And they're like, dude, I have to eat this hamburger fast or like someone is going to come
glowing
steal
eye.
My soul.
But yeah, so Andrew Yang conceded and isn't going to be mayor, which is good. But one thing I saw was that somebody on Reddit was saying that they've researched thousands of instant runoff elections. And they say 90% of the time, 92.5% of the time, the eventual winner was leading in the first round. Mm-hmm. 7.2% okay. of the time, the eventual winner came in second in the first round. And 0.2% of the time, the eventual winner was came in third. So it does seem like, you know, sure, maybe Eric Adams has a good chance, but there's still a chance that we just don't know at all. So
who Eric Adams even is,
he's
a name that's never
an,
been on the national stage.
Right. He's an ex-cop.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
oh, lovely. That's
he's
exactly who I want in charge of New York City.
He's awful, and everyone doesn't want him except for all the people who voted for him for whatever reason. So, but yeah, but Maya Wiley is some sort of like AOC type, quote unquote, progressive who
okay.
was sort of pictured with Kamala Harris recently and mm-hmm. spent time like shitting on Bernie Sanders or whatever. So
yeah,
whatever.
Because really there was her and then there was also like Diane Morales, who also was a sort of like, I'm progressive, but was like more, she's like a nonprofit like CEO type person. So
yeah.
like
okay.
I was definitely very
so these
suspicious
are like,
from the start.
These are awful Liz choice. Warren types that you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
yes, basically. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, so there's really no great option. I think it would be good. I think it'd be good if Maya Wiley run just because she seems to be the most like defund the police candidate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who knows if she would actually do that in any way, but you know. So I just wanted to say this episode will come out probably before anything has been called. And it's just weird because it'll be 3 days of people being like, who is it going to be? Click on this link.
Yeah, it's so stupid because it's like there's not other news that is like reported like that, you know? It's like,
yeah,
would you just be like, hey, in this basketball game, I mean, I know like in sports you're like, oh, someone's leading, but no one is like, they're definitely gonna win now because they were leading at the half. They wait till the end to report who won. But just like, and because look, politics is like an endless spectacle.
Yeah, and there's a power vacuum right now, okay? Without a boss in charge of the city, the captains don't even know who to kick up to, and nobody gets paid.
It's also funny because this is a primary. Like, technically, the person who wins this isn't the mayor. There has to be a general election, but like, Republicans don't win here, and it's not since Giuliani, I guess. So it's probably not going to be the Guardian Angels guy, even though he won his primary.
Which is pretty funny.
But I think if it's between Eric Adams and the Guardian Angels guy, I think that somebody should just take it over and just say, no,
yeah,
we're not going to do this. We're actually going to install someone else as mayor.
To have a third party person run. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of marching on the Winter Castle, you're marching on like the
governor's
NYC
mansion.
Subway. I don't know where power is concentrated in New York City. Like, there's one random pizza stand where that guy's actually secretly in charge of the whole city.
Yeah, where does de Blasio live? There's not like a mayor's mansion.
He lives in like a trailer or something.
He lives in a van down by the river.
There
must be something.
All right. Anyway, so speaking of where power lives.
Speaking of embracing death,
yeah.
Joe Biden's dog has died after being embraced by Pete Buttigieg. Who can say? I'm not going to say that, but it is possible.
Who can say?
At this point, it's hard for me to believe that an animal around Joe Biden died and it wasn't just Joe Biden tripping over his own fucking shoelaces and falling face first onto the animal.
Right.
Because he's a klutz and he's an idiot. He's like a shell of a man. He's a puppet or whatever. But he does still weigh around 190 to 200 pounds at least. So that's enough to crush a dog. I'm just saying.
It's absolutely enough to crush a dog.
He already broke his foot. And the official story is that he got out of the shower and was chasing Champ around was it Major he was chasing with a towel, and then he like slipped and hit his foot on something and broke it?
Yeah.
We know this man has no chill. He's very rambunctious with his dog.
Maybe Major killed Champ, and Major is systematically trying to destroy the entire Biden family from the inside. Have you ever considered that?
I didn't consider that until right now.
Yeah,
but
what
if
Major already done? Like take a shit in the White House and bite someone?
Major. Champ is dead, right?
Yeah, Champ died. The old one. Was it Champ who shit in the White House? I'm not even sure. One of them was shitting in the White House.
I think that was actually Joe who shit in the White House. This must have been one of the dogs. I don't know.
Yeah. anyway, run into the bathroom.
It's like when
my dad
farts and he's just like, is there a duck in here? It's like, nobody's fooled.
We all know what happened. So... it's weird because we've got this media apparatus now where you can't trust it at all. Like, what happened? Yeah, no one knows.
Champ Biden died on the way back to his home planet.
Yeah. they probably killed him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or there was like a major fucking international controversy that we should all be paying attention to. And they were like, quick, kill one of the Biden dogs so we have some fluff story. And everybody can be like, oh, R.I.P. poor puppy.
Poor pupper.
Well, like, I don't know, like a million Iranians die or another sanction on Venezuela goes through or whatever.
You know? Right, right. I mean, didn't the crime bill thing just happen?
There's a new crime bill?
Yes. What am I thinking of? Biden... police hiring, like,
oh, well, there was a thing that he wants to double the budget for police or something, right?
Yeah, that went through and no one talked about it.
Defund the police. What if I fund the police more? Everyone's just like, this is what we fought for all summer.
Biden budget doubles funding for police hiring program. So it is now at $388 million from all 4 years of Trump being $150 million.
Oh, lovely.
Who does this hire police for? Like just for DC or some kind of like federal thing to give states money to hire police?
It's a DOJ grant program.
Okay.
It's
a Paul Blart make work program.
Yeah.
They want to institute more mall cops on scooters shaped like friendly dads to ride around and humor shoppers. You know, they want to expand because that's the thing. Like I feel like, you know, progressives for all their failings have had a few really good ideas, right? Like let's expand the post office and make it do more things. Like, let's expand, you know, the jobs program. Let's get infrastructure programs going. Like, those are good ideas. And then the Republican and, like, quote unquote, moderate Democrat response to that is like, what if we had the police expand instead and do all these things? And it just, like, neatly wraps everything into one bundle for them, because they're just like, we get to seem like we're trying to make progressive change while giving a load more money to the most regressive and, like, fascist element of our already incredibly regressive and fascist nation.
Right.
And, like, if that doesn't help a Democrat sleep at night on top of their giant pile of money, I don't know what does. Well, speaking of not knowing what happened to Champ Biden, apparently Trump has been asking a Supreme Court justice to look into SNL.
Oh, yeah.
And this was while he was in office. And he talked to advisors and lawyers in 2019 about what the Justice Department, Federal Communications Commission, and the courts could do to look into late night comedy shows such as SNL. Which is like, I don't know why they're reporting on this now. Like, this would have been so much funnier to learn while he was still in office.
Because everyone's a pussy about this kind of stuff and wouldn't, like,
right.
Definitely wouldn't come forward to the news. And also probably no one would have reported it. Mm-hmm. Like,
there was, like, bigger Trump stories then. But now it's like everyone's like, what happened with Trump? Anything funny? And someone's like, ooh, I got a little tidbit for you. He wanted to arrest SNL and send them to Guantanamo for making jokes about it.
Well, I also feel like they probably waited to report on this, like, strategically, because, like, while Trump was in office, everybody was like, yeah, he's a despot. You know, nothing stacked on top of that would have, like, changed people's opinions about him. But now that Joe Biden is in office, it's convenient for them to be like, remember when that crazy Cheeto man wanted to send SNL to a maximum security facility for calling him, you know, for saying he has a juicy dumper or whatever. And, like, now that Biden is in control and, like, the CIA or in, you know, whatever other elements of the military and the deep state and the intelligence community are, like, seamlessly re-entering the media sphere and, like, helping produce, like, you know, 500 new Netflix series about, like, Sniper Team 420 and, like, the how we won the war by bombing Japan or whatever.
Yeah.
And now that that's all, like, in motion, they want you to be like, remember when the big scary man exercised too much control over your entertainment television?
Or tried anyway.
Remember when he was dumb about it? Remember when he was incompetent at it? And we're supposed to be like, that was the great crime. The incompetence. Mm-hmm. And it's stupid. The great crime is doing it. The better you do it, the worse it is.
He didn't even know that he doesn't actually have that kind of power, especially not if he asks directly rather than back channeling it or something.
Yeah. He didn't know who to send an email to, so he posted on Twitter about it. What a dictator.
Yeah, because, you know, if Joe Biden, like, saw something on SNL that he thought went too far, was like, he would just, like, send a Secret Service agent or a CIA agent to, you know, whatever the fuck, what's the guy who runs SNL?
Lorne Michaels.
Yeah. Well, Lorne Michaels' office, just to be like, right now we are in an increased, dangerous society level.
We're approaching a tactical situation, so we need to ascertain whether or not you're going to mention any of this stuff on the show. And, you know, I'm just saying, if you make a joke about Venezuela, it might complicate some of the tactical missions we're doing.
Yeah. Just keep Joe Biden's name out of your mouth for a couple weeks, and they'd be like, oh, okay, sure, whatever.
Or they'd be like, oh, if you want to make a joke about the dog, that's fine. Here's some joke Mr. Biden came up with.
Right. Well, something I just looked up, because I was like, I wonder if there's any photos of, like, Lorne Michaels and Joe Biden or Barack Obama having dinner together, playing golf or whatever other shit. And all I can find is, like, Lorne Michaels explains why he chose to cast Jim Carrey as President Biden on SNL. And I'm just I don't have to wonder. Like, they're both annoying fucking liberal douchebags. Elder men who are, like, unintentionally physically funny but have no actual sense of humor to speak of.
Just very insane people who just, like, mug at the camera and people are like, oh, hilarious.
These are the only two men in the world who will get out of the shower and immediately chase a dog around, so we have to have one play the other on television.
The role Jim Carrey was born to play.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it's just, it's very silly to be like, I don't know, Donald Trump. It is funny to imagine Donald Trump being the kind of person who would just be like, they're making fun of me and this is the thing that matters to me. So mm-hmm. I'm going to ask them to take care of them, send them to a gulag or whatever. He's like,
they
why
be in jail for this? Okay. The police in this country are not doing anything to help me, the president, the former president, in my great time of need. Like,
yeah, Trump is so funny because it's like, who else has just spent the last 30 or 40 years basically just watching a lot of TV? And then if something happens on TV that like gets you a little incensed or heated, you ask someone around you what you can do about it. And he did that enough to become president.
Yeah.
I mean, his whole idea of like how power works is based off of the structure of the kayfabe storylines that they mm-hmm. play out in like WWE matches and shit. And unfortunately, I think that does map perfectly one-to-one with how power works in politics in the United States.
He's mostly correct.
Like, yeah.
He was like 90% right. And he just got lucky at a couple points during the election. And boom, we had the guy that like everybody had, like I was watching The Sopranos yesterday and Tony's like buying property in New York to flip and like have fraudulently appraised and shit, and he's like, Donald Trump eat my dust, and I'm just like, little do you know, James Gandolfini, little do you know, back in 2004, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's very strange, yeah, because you go back, like old hip-hop is always like, I'm more rich than Trump. He was just like the like the most cool kind of businessman you could be if you were a rapper,
right? Yeah, it's, I mean, so he was the shout out guy, right? Like if mm-hmm. you wanted to be like, I'm wealthy, you would say you're like Trump, or like, you mm-hmm. know, you're at Trump Towers or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, complete sidebar, but it reminds me of one of the funniest online interactions of all time, where Migos is standing in front of this mansion and they're just like, you know, yeah, we out here. And then Madonna is in the comments. She's like, that's my house in Los Angeles. What are you doing there? And Quavo's in the replies and he just goes, trapping.
I never saw that rules. Madonna's just like, why are you at my house? There's teenagers outside my house taking photographs.
Because I think Trump was a guy who his narrative and the brand he built around himself was, and this isn't, you know, a unique perspective for me to have, but was like the kind of shit you'd do if you were a poor person who had $1 billion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like gold toilets and like, well, I'll make steaks or buy casinos or whatever. Like it was just like a poor person's idea of a rich guy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
Yeah. As soon as I have the big suit and the red tie, I can go make some deals and then I'll get even richer.
Yeah. He's a rise and grind sort of aspirational story. And that was his like brand, because like Bill Gates is like, oh, you're a super genius who was educated and funded in ways that I never will be, and then you spend all your money dressing like a fucking dub and, you know, doing stuff in Africa that I don't understand. You know, most billionaires, most rich people are just like completely unrelatable freaks. Mm,
especially billionaires. Billionaires like transcend into this like alien class of person where they just are like hanging out together, eating like weird hybrid grasses and like drinking the blood of poor people.
Yeah.
Planting colonies. Like they just go on to another level. And Trump just wanted to keep hanging out and like eating, sort of like
eating McDonald's, but like having a McDonald's installed in your house.
Yeah, so that exactly.
You can have your favorite, you know, my ice cream machine always works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Trump has just been living like blank check. Exactly. The kid
it's
buys
like
a mansion.
A child's idea of a rich person.
You buy a mansion with some cool stuff and a cool computer, and also you buy a friend who's your limo driver and drives you around, and maybe even you pretend to be Mr. McIntosh and try to get a date with a smoking babe even though you're a child.
Is that what happens?
Right.
He has a crush on that girl, yeah.
It's so funny, like in that way, he couldn't be, even though he's so similar to Joe Biden in so many ways, he couldn't be a bigger foil from him though, right? Because like Joe Biden's vibe is the complete opposite. He's like the sentient, like conglomerated ghost of all of the businesses that are registered in Delaware but don't actually do any business in Delaware at that like one building address. And he just like rose up fully formed from the building one day and was like, I'm running for vice president. You know, I'm going to be a senator. Like, yeah. just like a Stephen King-esque evil emerging out of the landscape fully formed.
Yeah.
The swamps of Delaware spitting out Joe Biden in a pod.
Yeah, that's very strange to imagine that just like if way back, I don't know how Delaware was founded, but if like no one drew that line and instead it just was all part of Maryland, like Joe Biden would just be like some guy working at a gas station instead.
It would have been, it's a right. shame that didn't happen. other huge things that are happening. The Supreme Court is in session. We talked about this on the bonus. They had a big ruling about something good. Oh, about the NCAA. That was sort of a start. But they're really going hard on colleges in schools. Because another ruling has come down that they sided with a student against a college because this is a cheerleader who got suspended, I believe.
Or was it kicked off of her cheer squad?
She got kicked off of her cheerleading squad for saying fuck and putting a middle finger up on Snapchat. And so the question... She was
not college, high school. She was 14.
High school. According to NPR, at issue in the case was a series of F-bombs issued in 2017 on Snapchat by Brandi Levy, then a 14-year-old high school cheerleader who failed to win a promotion from the junior varsity to the varsity cheerleading term at her Pennsylvania school. She says, "I was really upset and frustrated at everything." So she posted a photo of herself and a friend flipping the bird to the camera with a message that said, fuck the school, fuck cheer, fuck everything. And then was suspended from the team.
What the fuck? That's fucking ridiculous. Like, I said shit like that in high school all the time. I said shit like that to my teacher's face in high school. But like, because it's on Snapchat now, because it's in this elemental like internet space that like the present day... like administrators and shit don't understand.
Yeah,
they're like, you need to be suspended for this. You're is suspend- more serious because it's on the internet, right? Like,
other people can see you owning me now,
right?
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that element. That it's like the people who are like in charge of the school are probably like at most in their 40s, more likely 50s or 60s or something,
right?
And so they're like, well, I saw this happen, so to me, it's the same as if they were like in the principal's office and said, "Fuck the school." Which is like, also it's bullshit that you could get in trouble for that. But like, I'm sure they could like find a way to make it make sense and be like, oh, well, it was disrespectful and disruptive on school grounds or whatever. But yeah, now that just everything is fair game.
Right. But the Supreme Court ruled that that's not true and that the school had no right to suspend her from the cheerleading team, which it's very funny. it's very funny that this is the case that got to this point where they're like the highest court in the land has to decide if they could kick this girl off the cheerleading squad. I feel like this would make a good like PG-13 like teen movie that would have been released back in 2004. A girl who gets mad and then goes all the way to the Supreme Court.
Things aren't going right for Brandy. Kicked off the cheer team until she met one lawyer who proved to her that there's always a second chance to say fuck your school.
Yeah, so they upheld the First Amendment because they basically, if it's not in school, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You can say the F word, you can be online, and you're not allowed to. So I think it's a good ruling, and it was 8-1, and Clarence Thomas was like, well, students like her who are active in extracurricular programs have a greater potential by virtue of their participation to harm those programs.
What?
What? Wait. How is that interpreting the law?
It's not.
Yeah.
That man is nuts. Clarence Thomas is an insane person.
I mean,
they're all pretty crazy and drunk on power, but like Clarence Thomas is a weirdo.
On the Supreme Court is just like one of the closest we get in terms of actually having power to just like being a mystic or like an ancient wizard, like living in a castle or something. Like people just approach you and are like, sir and madams, for your offering, we have a girl saying fuck, and then they're all like, home, we declare, and then like magic spell.
Yeah, the prophecy says... Nay.
Yeah, the Supreme Court does all their rulings naked in a giant bathtub with like wires coming out of them, and you find out what their ruling is and who dissented by like different colored balls rolled out.
Yeah,
the
like
track.
Yeah, the precogs.
Yeah. That's a horrifying thought that they were like Scalia was just floating in there naked with his like gross pallid stomach sticking out of the water.
I mean, this kind of does remind me, this like this student's outburst reminds me of that YouTube video that was popular a while ago where like a student is like standing up. It's like some kid with like long blonde hair, and he stands up in the middle of his class and he's like, another packet? You can't just keep giving these kids packets. That's not how some of these students learn. You need to engage these, and like going on this incredibly long tirade about like how to actually help students.
I remember that like, kid. Yeah.
Yeah, he was eventually like so widely backed by the internet that he never got in any trouble with the school for that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we need to have like these fucking students' backs. Like, this shouldn't go to the Supreme Court. Like, this is one of those things that should be tried in the court of public opinion, because everybody's sure. gonna be like, oh, a kid Absolutely. Said fuck school. Yeah. Have you ever met a teenager before in your life?
Who do you think actually likes school? There's like three kids who like school, and one of them is just because she wants your job someday and is sucking up to you.
Yeah, and I wonder what the repercussions of this, I wonder if there's any negative, I'm sure someone like A-Lab or whatever will talk about this, but, or 5-4, another good Supreme Court podcast, but it just seems like they're just upholding like free speech stuff, which seems
right.
pretty good, even though it doesn't really exist. but yeah, so speaking of speech, Tamir Rice's mother, Samira Rice, wrote a very weird kind of funny Instagram post about Sean King. Sean King is a quote unquote activist who
he's active and pissing me off.
So, he's one of the only people who actually lives inside of his Twitter profile picture bubble. That's not a photo of Sean King. That is Sean King.
He's fully just supplanted his physical form to reside
really?
Inside the internet.
I was completely unaware of that.
Yeah. That's how do you think he's everywhere? Whenever anything's trending, he always pops up and is like, this is an outrage. Here's how you can
he
help
really
it
does.
By giving me money.
He posts it like every hour of the day and night. Like, I wake up and there are Sean King posts from like midnight, 3 a.m., 6 a.m., yesterday at 8 p.m., noon. I'm like, when does he sleep? There are definitely like 9 people that run that Sean King account. Let's be
for
real.
Sure. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. So, in case you don't remember, Tamir Rice was a 12-year-old who was killed by cops for having a toy gun. I'm not even entirely sure he had a toy gun.
That is that he was like on a playground playing with the toy gun and cops like pulled up and immediately shot him. So yeah.
Yeah. It was
the real story could be even worse.
According to it was an airsoft gun. Mm-hmm. He was on a playground and then he got killed in 2014. Mm-hmm. He was murdered by cops. But Samira Rice wrote recently. So Sean King is, if you don't remember, we've talked about him a couple times on the show. Mm-hmm. He's a weird freak who goes around to BLM protests and like sort of sucks up money and attention from them.
He's basically the original D-Ray, and I think like even more odious than D-Ray.
Yeah.
Because D-Ray at least like goes to protests and is like, by the way, I've been here the whole time, and people who have been there are like, you kind of just showed up and are trying to like take all the attention. Sean King just posts about it. But also it's like, by the way, I'm the most important person in all this and you should give me all the money.
That's right. And it's, what did he even start? The Real Justice Pack.
Right. He's always like trying to start like news organizations or startups or something that like fail spectacularly. And like, there's definitely a lot of like bad blood that has happened where people are like, we worked with Sean King on this thing and he like wasn't open about the fundraising and like how much money was there. Like eventually like, it ended and he didn't like, he's just very, very like shifty.
Right.
He's like a fire festival organizer. The quote unquote left. Yeah.
Yeah. He's it's really weird because it's really gross specifically because it's like, we're talking about police murders. Like why pick this thing to be the thing that is your grift? Like, why don't you just grift celebrity and take them to an island and feed them a cheese sandwich for $5,000? You know, like that's a much better. I'd much rather you do that.
the richer the person is, that's the thing about Sean King, though, is like he's playing it backwards from how like I would play it, right? Like I would definitely like, you know, scam the rich people and then make the poor people my like my friends, you know, and like help them and shit. But what he's doing is where he runs around to like progressive causes and like protests and shit, and he scams the rich people, and then he maintains like good business relationships with the people that must be keeping his media empire afloat, right? Like he has like a million page likes on Facebook and shit. Like he's pretty big. Mm. He's like a real fucking talking head. Like
people know who he is. Yeah. Mm. I mean, normies know who he is.
He's the person who, like, if you are like a white person on Facebook who like didn't used to be very political and you see a friend share a thing about like a police murder and you're like, wow, this sounds bad. Like,
right,
odds are good that it was a Sean King post, and then that becomes who you follow to like learn about the police.
In 2018, Time magazine, noted CIA publication, called him 25 most influential people on the internet in 2018. So yeah, people know who he is. And Samira Rice posted an Instagram that said, why do you think it's so important to tell folks we had a conversation? Well, we talked and everything that was said was very toxic and uncomfortable for me to hear that you raise additional money and then said you do not want to bother me. Personally, I don't understand how you sleep at night. I never gave you permission to raise anything. Along with the United States, you robbed me for the death of my son. You gave me a cop and donut conversation. All lies, Sean. Please stop thinking we are on the same page. As a white man acting black, you are an imposter that cannot be trusted. My son was 12 years old, and DOJ needs to reopen his case, period. Tamir, human rights were violated. Why would you ever make it about you? You are a selfish, self-centered person, and God will deal with you, white man.
Wow, she said that Sean King is sus. Sean King has been acting real sus, and he said he was working in the ventilator room. I've never actually played Among Us. I don't know.
That's right. And so I think a lot of people are, you know, people believe that he's a freak and people believe that he's a grifter and a bad guy. But I think what's a little bit unfortunate but funny is that a lot of people are now also remembering that he is probably just a white guy doing a Rachel Dolezal thing.
I mean, he's always been like deliberately ambiguous about that, right? Like I don't want to get too spicy, but like I remember sharing some of his posts back in the day, back like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago or whatever, and people would ask me, they'd be like, is this guy black? He kind of seems like he's trying to position himself as, you know, affected by this as a black person. And it's like, I've always been like, well, I don't know, you know, I don't know how his relationship with the quote unquote black community, which is not a monolith, is, you know, et cetera.
But to hear
somebody call him out as a grifter and be like, God will deal with you, white man. It's like, it's kind of satisfying.
It's hard to not agree with her there. His story is shifting, because like, it was a thing a long time ago where it was basically like, just considered like a Breitbart conspiracy, right? When Breitbart was like, we found Sean King's birth certificate and his dad is white. And then Sean King was like, this is a lie. That's not really my dad and my birth certificate. My mom, my mom slept with a black guy and I'm black. And it's like, you know, that's a reasonable enough story to tell, to be like, look, like, you know, this is my family history. This is who I am, whatever. But then recently he was like, well, he made an Instagram post, which he deleted, where he said like, my dad was a light-skinned black guy who could have passed for white, but he knew better.
It's like, wait. In response to this,
it sounds like you didn't really know your dad before, but now you do know him and you know how light-skinned he was.
In response to this, Sean King posted a picture of himself in high school where he looks just as white as he usually does, with a huge long thing about how he's black because his dad had like some percentage of blackness or whatever. And it's this isn't how it works. Like if you are not involved in a culture, if you don't appear a certain way, if you don't have relatives and relations that are like of a certain like race isn't real. Like, why are you doing race science?
Yeah. He's literally doing like percentage, Jim Crow era blood quantum shit on himself. Be like, I'm actually woke and allowed to say, like, I can say it. I don't know what his point is. Like,
right. Yeah. Like, who really cares? Like, I mean, it's like Samira Rice is mad at him, but it's not like if he was doing something that helped her or that she appreciated, she would be like, right. Well, also, I'm going to call him out for being white. Like,
well, that's the thing is that, like, nobody was really mad at Rachel Dolezal when she was like the president of her NAACP chapter. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure that the black people in her NAACP chapter knew.
There were some people, like probably all of them were like,
that doesn't mean just
on?
Because like it, most people aren't tricked like that. Like people are like, okay, well this lady just is really nice and helpful. Mm-hmm. And if she's really nice and helpful, like whatever, yeah, like
she seems really down. She doesn't have to wear the dashikis, but like if that's what she wants to do, I guess.
What we're saying as a podcast is that we're coming out anti Sean King, but very pro Rachel Dolezal.
I mean, I don't know what else she's doing, but she does like cameo videos and stuff. I feel like whatever she's doing
she has like a sexy calendar.
She's not really hurting anyone at this point. I don't know.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, you shouldn't pretend to be, but like, I
guess we should make sure she hasn't said anything racist recently before we endorse her on our podcast.
I'm not endorsing her. I'm not endorsing Rachel Dolezal.
We're proud to endorse Rachel Dolezal for president.
Stop. I'm just saying that if you behave, like, what's more important, I think, mm-hmm. is that if you're like, this is why people feel like they're being infiltrated. Like, just because you like participate in a culture doesn't mean you are like not a grifter.
Right. The much right. more salient thing about Sean King is that he's being a piece of shit who,
right.
no matter how black he is not helping other black people.
Right. Right. He's ripping them off, mm-hmm. and, you know, trying to create a career for himself.
And yeah. It's insane to think about. Like, this is Samira Rice is a woman whose child was murdered by a fascist state.
Yeah.
Like, imagine someone who's gone through that, and then you can still be enough of an asshole that they would like get upset at you. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about someone who went through something that horrible, it's like, it's hard to imagine anything else like breaking through that, but she can still find the energy to be like, also, Sean King, fuck you.
Yeah, this guy's a big enough piece. Well, because like he came and talked to her, and then she said he gave it, like, I don't know what the content of the conversation was, but like she said he gave her a cop and donut conversation, which mm-hmm. is just like one, an incredibly powerful way to say a lot with a few words.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
two,
yeah.
like sounds like Sean King, right? Like sounds like that same kind of like reformist, careerist, folding everything back into the status quo kind of quote unquote activism that's been getting so fucking popular recently.
Yeah, and that's all about moving stuff away from actually doing things. You know, it's all about
or
moving
just
people's
making
attention.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's not doing anything either. Like, right, yeah, one guy making money is the opposite of doing something helpful. And I mean, you know, I think when people are like thrust into the public eye, it's reasonable to suspect that this person is on the side, or like literally on the side of the government, right. whether he's a cop or whatever else, or just someone who's being paid by the corporate state to do it. But like, he's definitely
or just
getting
someone
help.
Who's someone who's just allowed, right? Like mm-hmm. someone where they're like, well, Sean King is, he actually kind of like ironically works to our benefit.
Yeah.
So when the CIA mm-hmm. calls Facebook and they're like, hey, nerf these pages, but leave Sean King alone. He's
exactly.
fine. He can mm-hmm. be allowed to live in his bubble.
Yeah. yeah. It doesn't have to be like a clandestine meeting with a cigarette smoking man in a back alley. It'd be like, oh, you have to talk to Tamir Rice and offend her. It can just be mm-hmm. he's being supported and platformed by the system that already exists because he's beneficial
right.
to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And it's just like, it's really disgusting to see him continue mm-hmm. to do this. So
well,
fuck
speaking
him
of getting
and
platformed.
Yeah. Let's talk about getting platformed live on air.
I'm going to get so fucking platformed on the late night show with Conan O'Brien.
I'm always getting platformed.
Yeah, light
every
as a
night.
Feather, stiff as a board, platformed 4 inches off the ground.
Oh no.
So I guess Conan O'Brien is apparently like bringing there's like a break in his show or something. Like, I don't watch his fucking show. He's a fucking annoying piece of shit. Mm-hmm. But he's taking some kind of break, and he had everybody's least favorite stoner on to give him advice. Seth
now
Rogen.
This is a personal grudge that you have
against Seth Rogen
against
for
Seth
ruining
Rogen.
It for all weed guys everywhere by turning our shit mainstream
yep.
and coming along and undercutting the values of stoner dudes, which include not being on TV.
Interesting.
And so he's sitting and he's doing an interview with Conan, and Conan's like, "You seem like a pretty relaxed guy. What's your secret?" And he's like, "Well, I think you should smoke weed a lot every day." And then like Conan has to like feign surprise when Seth Rogen pulls a joint out of his shirt pocket, even though I'm sure that that shit was stinking up the entire studio for like the last 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And
which is so, it's funny because it's like he has it and they definitely told him to bring it. But then later right. he's like, "I didn't expect any of this."
Yeah. I'm such a square. I thought you were pulling out a birthday candle is literally what Conan O'Brien said. And yeah. he's making all these fucking dad jokes. He's like, "Yeah, it's a fine herb. I've smoked it a couple times before, but it didn't really do anything. I think it just gets metabolized into more orange pompadour." Ha ha ha. And it's just like very, very weak fucking dad sauce jokes. And then they take the one hit and they do a little bit more interview and they close it out. And there's really nothing to it. I just wanted to bring it up because like this is not cool. This makes weed less cool. This is a huge problem. When Conan O'Brien and Seth Rogen are getting together to be like, this is how the weed industry looks now. Shit is fucked up. Yeah, I should be buying weed from a dude named Scooter who like lives in like a fucking like a house that he built as an addition to the back of his favorite bar. That is who I should be buying weed from, not Seth Rogen's like family friendly cannabis brand now with 19% more CBD or whatever. Like fuck that.
That would be a lot. It from too. That would be a lot of CBD.
Like Conan is robbing himself of that, you know, fun experience of like smoking weed and then staring at a lava lamp. Like, because when I watched this, I was like, imagine like taking one hit of a joint and then a whole room of people is cheering for you that you're doing it. Like, that would kind of throw off the whole
freaking
experience.
Out.
You want to take a little hit and then just like play some music or like watch a funny video and like kind of let it vibe into you. You don't want to, it's not like you're being a gladiator and you want people to cheer you on as you get high. It defeats the whole purpose.
I don't know. Maybe John does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hitting the fucking bong, people are just like, chug. Yeah.
It's like smoking the entire bong at once somehow. You become filled up like a balloon.
I would probably pass out. I mean, I've passed out from taking too big of a hit of weed before because if my blood sugar is low, I can get dizzy really easily.
Sure. You got to practice that. I think it's called circular breathing. It's like this insane technique that like wind instrument players do where they can like
Colin Stetson does that shit.
Out so they can just like
I can actually, yeah, I can do like a rudimentary form of circular breathing because I played trombone in high school and I was at the time very interested in the crossover between trombone playing skills and weed smoking techniques.
At the time.
At the time. I've never gotten the old trombone out of storage and hooked it up to the bong. I definitely didn't do that. No, I've never
seen that. You went to Michigan and you're like, "Hello, old friend. Let's play another tune."
But yeah, I mean, Seth Rogen, I think I personally like some of his movies, but he definitely has become a sort of weird hybrid of like regular celebrity and stoner guy, which is very bizarre to look at because he like sometimes he looks like the guy from the center of Hollywood Squares sometimes. Like he's just like this like thin, like weirdo guy.
Yeah, the more he's like aging and becoming thinner and like wearing like weirder clothes, it definitely is. It's a strange transformation because I think the thing is that he started off genuinely as like just a stoner guy because he wasn't really famous for a little while. Like eventually,
he was an actor, but
he was an actor and comedian.
He was on Freaks and Geeks when he was young and like he got a good strong start, but he wasn't a household name to like what, Pineapple Express? Something like that.
Yeah, like, something like that. I guess like maybe the 40-year-old virgin knocked up or something. Yeah.
They're all the same movie.
It's the same movie over and over.
Yeah, but yeah, Hangover or whatever. Like.
But that was barely Knocked Up was his first, like, I'm starring in this movie. Mm-hmm. He's the poster. Sure. And that was only, 12 years ago? Like, it hasn't been very long.
Yeah, and it was like Freaks and Geeks did one
season. He's not Snoop Dogg or Willie Nelson. Yeah. He hasn't been like a famous weed guy for decades or anything.
Right. Yeah. But if there was anything about him, it was that he was a weed guy.
Yeah.
And
but yeah, it's been like a weird thing where it was like, this is what would happen if you take a guy who has just been like smoking weed in a basement constantly and playing video games while also kind of pursuing comedy. If like he became really successful and became a celebrity and had millions of dollars to spend on weed, you eventually end up with Seth Rogen.
Right. Yep. Yeah. He's so, like the comedic acting version of Mike Portnoy, the drummer from Dream Theater, who's like a good technical, you know, and progressive metal drummer, but just gradually turned into a backwards baseball cap, basketball shorts, and jersey kind of guy for some
reason.
That's
a cool guy.
Like inexplicably. It's a cooler guy than Seth Rogen is, I guess. So, you know, kids, if you're trying to choose between drumming and acting, pick drumming every time.
I feel like the last person who almost became Seth Rogen in terms of fame and being a weed guy was Jim Brewer. Does that feel right?
Oh,
I really know who that is.
Hold on. Oh, this guy.
Jim Brewer was the guy in Half-Baked.
Yeah. Jim Brewer. He's really funny. He seems like kind of the natural progression of Matthew Lillard. You know who I'm talking about. Shaggy from the live-action Scooby-Doo movies.
Yeah.
They have that like kinship of like dude who always seems extremely baked. Yeah. But that's the thing. Like Seth Rogen doesn't seem like a guy who's baked. He seems like a guy who has weed on him. Jim Brewer seems like he showed up and he barely knows where he is already. Like,
But the thing about Matthew Lillard is that Matthew Lillard never seemed like a real weed guy. He seemed like a guy who played a weed guy really good. Mm-hmm. But like,
if
you watch interviews, he seems like pretty chill. But like Brewer was a guy who was just like showing up to interviews and shit and just being like, what's up, man?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Brewer is just a guy who like basically got famous because he met Dave Chappelle and Chappelle was like, I like this guy.
This guy's funny. He's funny. Yeah. He had a good stand up. But yeah, he just stopped kind of getting like right after, I don't remember what happened, but something happened where there's never been a guy who's been able to achieve the level of Seth Rogen whilst being that high.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I guess to you, no one has.
I don't think anybody
Seth Rogen is an imposter.
Is that that label? Yeah. Seth Rogen is a fake. He's an industry plant. He's a stoner guy, industry plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my takeaway from this Conan O'Brien interview.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, once again, we have another sus person on our hands.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen is sus.
Yeah. Extremely sus. Speaking of things being sus, I wanted to move on to an article that I couldn't like believe when I first started reading it, but apparently after years of drought, Sacramento's water, like their tap water, you know, their well water or whatever, city water, is starting to taste off and
tastes a little earthy,
tastes a little dirty. Mm-hmm. And the people in Sacramento are like, hey, this usually doesn't start till early fall. Why does my water taste like dirt already? And the city of San Francisco is just like, it might not taste great, but it's still safe to drink. We realize that it's unpleasant. The earthy taste that some of our customers are experiencing is harmless and can be neutralized by adding some lemon or putting it in the refrigerator.
Just add a little lemon. That is
an excellent solution. I know you're having a basic utilities crisis with one of the most important substances on the earth for human survival, but throw a little lemon in there, boss. You'll be all right. Like,
I mean, and I just have to say, if I turn on my tap and water comes out and then that's the water I have, I'm not a customer. I'm a customer when I'm like, I think I'll go to Burger King because I like their french fries more than McDonald's. I can't walk to a different water place and be like, can you send a different free water to my house, please?
Absolutely.
It doesn't taste like dirt.
Exactly. You don't have a choice, right?
These are the water
gods. If you don't like it, okay, just move to a different city entirely for the water. You got that? Like,
try New York. The water here is incredible.
Zeltzer in Germany. If you like water so much, you fucking snob. Like,
yeah. And I feel like there's something going on with water. I think I've talked about this on the show before, but there are people who say online that they don't like it.
They don't like water.
And they don't like
Drinking water. It doesn't taste like anything. Like, I don't like breathing air. It doesn't smell like anything. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't like sleeping in a bed. I'm not thinking about anything. I want to be awake.
They're like,
it's like that fucking that post that goes around where it's like Charles Bukowski. It's a quote from Bukowski and it's like, people run from rain but sit in bathtubs full of water. And someone reblogs it and they're like, oh yeah, people eat apples, but if you throw one at their head, they duck. Real fucking deep, Mr. Bukowski.
I love that post. It's like, yeah, man, they're two completely different scenarios. You really thought you did something with that one?
Right.
Yeah. And I think, but people really feel like it feels slimy. I don't like the way I like slimy? Rather drink soda.
Well, drink sparkling water then, I guess.
I don't know what's wrong with people.
I don't
people.
Like drinking water. It has too much okra in it and it gives a weird texture.
I think it's just that people get like spoiled by soda because like soda is really delicious. And if you like, but the idea of drinking soda not, like for quenching your thirst is kind of horrifying to me. Like drinking it all the time.
I can't even okay, if I'm thirsty after a long day at work, I'll drink a beer first. Mm-hmm. But you can drink a beer and then still be thirsty. And you got to know like, okay, it's water time, right? Like
yeah,
this,
you need some water.
Your human body is like, you might want to drink some of that good clear shit, you know?
But it's just so weird because, I mean, for me personally, like I've never even been like, the concept of drinking beer to stop being thirsty is a weird idea. Like the only thing I'm ever thirsty for is water. Mm-hmm. I like beer. I like other beverages, but I like a lot of other beverages, but if you're thirsty, you got to drink water. So I'm just saying, if you're out there listening and you can't drink water and you don't like it, go to fucking therapy. You're going to have like actual fucking physical problems in your life if you're not drinking enough water. Maybe not now because you're a kid and you're getting your sustenance from something else, but definitely learn to like water.
Well, if you don't like water, just get your fucking water from something that has a lot of water in it, too. Like, eat two heads of iceberg lettuce every day. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Like, eat some
but
watermelon.
I'm going to warn you, it doesn't taste like much either. Well, yeah, watermelon, there you go, because that's actually delicious. Mm-hmm. But then it also has a lot of sugar in it, so you're not totally mm-hmm. avoiding the problem of, like... So shit like this makes me think of my dad, okay? So my dad drinks water. He's not, like, anti-water or anything. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't choose it as a beverage almost ever. Mm-hmm. Like, if I spend the day with him... it'll be like coffee, orange juice, glass of milk with lunch, beer in the afternoon, glass of milk with dinner, and
milk.
Then wine. And milk, I know. And this is the problem. This is the problem is that people, they're not just spoiled by soda. They're spoiled by the fact that like, you know, for me, it's like, you know, once it's the mid-afternoon, I start drinking beer. And I'm like, I should probably drink more water. That's a pain in the ass. But other people, it's like milk, soda, orange juice, you know, fucking apple juice, whatever else. And like, I don't know, like just trick yourself. Just drink a mineral water. Drink something with a little bit, like don't put lemon in your water to get the dirt flavor out. Like, you know, harass your utility company at that point.
Yeah, no, take over the utility company at this point.
Yeah, if you're like, oh, my water doesn't taste like anything, like, go buy a lemon, you fucking psycho. What's
wrong with you? Toss in a cucumber. Mint, like, there's a lot of good tasting stuff. Toss
mint,
something in.
That's a great choice. Basil is a good choice. Like, mm-hmm. come
I've
on.
I've tried basil. That sounds interesting. Basil water.
Basil,
oh, I've had basil water.
Water.
That's
really good.
Good.
Sounds nice.
That is a good time. It's tasty. There's a bar near, really close to my house where I play... I've played shows there quite a few times, and every time, basically every time I forget, I go to fill my bottle up full of nutritious, delicious, ice cold water that you should be drinking.
That's right.
And then when I take a swig, it's cucumber basil water.
Did they put basil in? I thought it was cucumber lime sometimes.
Sometimes they mix it up.
They put basil in sometimes?
But,
okay.
It's always very surprising, but pretty good. Very refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I always had a problem because I would go to my local bar and these two unlabeled tanks would be right next to each other. One's cucumber basil water and one is horseradish vodka. And sometimes I just pick wrong.
Oh, no. This water is especially especially tangy and spicy today. It kind of burns, but I guess I was just really thirsty.
That's not a true story, right?
No. But there is based on a true story. One of my favorite bars did have three giant water jugs behind the bar with horseradish vodka, pickle vodka, and kimchi vodka, I think. And you'd get the Bloody Mary and you'd be like, mix all three. It was
damn.
So fucking good. It was unbelievable.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
I remember one of the first times I ever went to someone's house when I was in college. She was like, do you want water or vodka? And I was like, sure. And then she brought out two identical clear glasses with one filled with ice cold water and one filled with ice cold vodka. And I was like,
did she just like drink the vodka like it was water? Just like have sips of it?
I drank all of it.
Okay.
All of the water and all the vodka.
Oh, for you. Okay.
Yeah. Would you like a glass of Sprite or a glass of absinthe. They are unlabeled.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
And that's always fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the thing is,
time to roll the dice.
If you live in Sacramento, it is time to take over your water supply factory. Do not put lemon in the eyes of the owner of this fucking plant.
Yeah, honestly,
which is probably some fucking shell company. Mm.
Honestly, if things keep going badly on the planet, which it seems like they will, like water might become more of a luxury in the future, and you're going to have to drink apple juice. So enjoy plain water while you can, my friends. Things are not looking good for this planet right now.
You know, people were making a huge mistake hoarding gas. You need to be hoarding water. Okay, so build. What I'm going to tell you is incredibly important. Get on YouTube and watch about 14 hours of people in Southeast Asia building giant clay swimming pools with nothing but hand tools.
This is a fun video.
Use the information that you learned from that to construct an artificial aquifer under your house. Do not conduct an environmental survey. Do not talk to the zoning board. Simply begin construction. Soon you will be the richest person in your area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That water will be paying dividends decades from now when you're murdered by a roving band of bandits and it's all stolen instantly.
You look like an idiot buying Dogecoin. Why aren't you buying clay to make an aquifer? Like,
build a cistern. One weird trick to build a cistern in your backyard and rule the post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah. Utility companies hate him.
Don't you want to be?
Really do. He keeps digging up their lines.
Don't you want to be in Morton John? So do that. Start a organization with your neighbors and friends to take over the precious life-giving mineral water that still exists and make it not taste like dirt by yourself. Mm-hmm. Use whatever tactics you have to. So thanks so much for listening. This has been Beep Beep Lettuce. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Let's see. What are the things? Oh, if you'd like to hear more of this show, you can go to patreon.com/beepbeepletus. Let's do all the plugs since it's been a while. You can listen to my other show, Generation Lost. You can listen to John's other show, Work Stoppage. You can watch me and Chris play video games at twitch.tv/lefttrigger_.
Right.
Or on Means TV. You can watch John play video games at twitch.tv/beepbeepletuspod.
That's right.
You're still doing that regularly, yeah?
Not regularly. I have fallen off pretty hard, but I will be starting it back up at some point in the not too distant future. But if you're extremely hungry for John Paul Zichterman content, check out the upcoming episode of Work Stoppage. We haven't recorded it yet, but a little birdie told me we might have an interview with some workers who formerly worked at No Evil Foods, and we can outline the entire saga of
that. Yes, that's going to be an interesting one. Otherwise, you can follow us on Twitter at WeedPod. You can follow all of us individually from there. And you can hang out with us in Mids Posting, and you can hang out with us in the Discord. And otherwise, we'll see you next time.
Keep beeping.
Goodbye.
Bye. Of it, yeah.